2009 National Crisis, Bible Study Lesson Number 58, March 20th, 2009. Hopefully we'll be able to teach a fourth hour. Our voice will hold up today. Get us a little bit ahead because we never know what's going to happen as we go along. Next Friday, my wife will be in medical appointments. She started a round of all of her testing that comes in every year, so I won't be able to teach on Friday next week. And we're getting with these changing periods and changing things around here in life for where we're at. We're dealing with the doctrine of a clown nation out of Hosea chapter 4, a priest nation, where God says, I have an indictment, a controversy in your King James, an indictment against you in the Hebrew, as we're going to see. Against this nation. We're dealing with we're not a priest nation, but we're a client nation to God. A client nation to God is a nation where there is freedom in that country to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the unsaved, to teach the word of God, Bible doctrine to believers, open public forum, and to send missionaries out to other parts of the world, state the gospel of Jesus Christ, and also to train nationalist pastor teachers and evangelists. And other people in the use of their spiritual gifts. And to defend the laws of the divine establishment for temporal living, which represent the areas, four primary areas, of course, are individuality, which consists of volition, plus privacy, plus responsibility for making good decisions up front, plus property rights, the right to benefit from our decisions, plus accountability. And marriage between one man and one woman. Family life. Children with the responsibilities that go with that fall to the parents, not to the state. This is not Soviet Union where the state owns the children. And independent national governments, each one independently sovereign, all under the accountability to God concept. Because even though Satan is the prince ruler over this world, God is in absolute final authority over all things. God has not abrogated his sovereignty in any form or fashion. He is giving Satan and his permissive will freedom to do certain things within limitations, but all of the wickedness he restrains, Psalm 76:10. Now, in our nation, we look at what's going on in our world today, the client nation, we discover that we're losing some of our freedoms. Why? Because, first of all, government is trying to change the concept of a marriage from a man and a woman to two men or two women. The principle is being changed. In this country, for legal reasons. I predict in the future, once that is accomplished, we're going to go back to a form of polygamy. In this country, once again, too. Now, the Bible does not absolutely forbid polygamy, as long as polygamy was between one man and women, and down there. Since a woman can only have one man as a head over her, a woman with multiple husbands is not cited in Scripture in any form or fashion, because that becomes an adulterous situation, but men were allowed in Scripture to do it. I'm not promoting polygamy, but polygamy was there. There's no happiness found in polygamy anywhere in the Bible. Can you find a blessing for it? I believe that God allowed polygamy to exist. It was directing will, it was his permissive will, because it did keep stability in society and made a man accountable for the women with which he had his sexual affairs. We've got a new word out there now. Forgotten the term that they're using for it, but in words, we multiple partner concept with acceptability down there. I see it on television. They talk about it on talk shows. I don't watch talk shows. Occasionally you catch one when you're looking for a news broadcast or something and cut it on a minute early or something like that, and you hear these things out there. But and concepts out there where you've got what they used to call swingers, now they got a different term for it. It's eventually going to lead to the idea, I believe, of bringing back polygamy to this country along the line with a complete breakdown of the laws of the divine establishment for temporal living. Man is already usurping God's laws in the three minor sections of codexes, one which is creation law and natural law, because man denies God as the creator of all things. Two, in the law of the physical body, because the government is interfering with what you can or cannot do to your physical body within the reasons of personal freedom. And three, in the area of solar life, which is psychological life. As the government is interfering and there are people being told and being committed to go and sit under counselors and psychologists and people when they need to be under the teaching of the Word of the Living God. When we say our freedoms exist, but we're still a clown nation at this point. We have not gone out of the cycles of divine judgment, all right? We need to pick up from where we were and continue with the doctrine of a clown nation to God. Before we begin, let's pause for solemn prayer to give you time to make sure you have the filling of the Spirit and you have absolute objectivity to the teaching of the Word of God. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. We claim your promise, your word will not return void, but will accomplish all that you designed it for. We ask you to sanctify it and bless it. In the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, make it a challenge to all of them that study it. In Christ's name we pray, saying, even so come. Lord Jesus, amen. We're not a priest nation to God. Israel is the only priest nation ever existed on the face of this earth. It's the only priest nation ever will exist upon the face of this earth. It's a covenant nation to God. We're a client nation. As the United States is a clown nation of God, we gave you some key principles related to it. One, the dispensation of the law of the family of God. Also, the dispensation of grace of God the Father, the angel of the local church, every believer is given the responsibility to be salt and light to the nation. Matthew 5:13-16. Why would we do this? Because it is a part of our priestly functions. The dispensation of the law, grace of God the Father, also known as dispensation of the law of the family of God, the age of the local church, every believer is given a responsibility to be salt and light in his nation as a part of his priestly function. Revelation 1:6 with Matthew 5:13-16. A, every believer is a priest to God for personal worship, 1 Peter 2:5. B, every believer is a priest to God for personal service, 1 Peter 2:9. C, the believer's priestly function is a reasonable service of sacrifice to the Father. Romans 12:1-2. Point two, with the destruction of Israel came the end of Israel as a priest nation, but the responsibilities are passed on to nations in which believers are fulfilling their priestly functions and pastoral functions, Matthew 20:19-20. Acts 1:8. And the gospel of salvation is to be preached to the lost, 1 Corinthians 9:16. Be every believer's ambassador in Christ's diplomatic corps, 2 Corinthians 5:20, 1 Peter 3:15. And C, every believer, as an ambassador, every believer is to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost, and by the doctrine of believers, 1 Corinthians 3:15. D, the Christian way of life is to be taught to believers whether they want to hear the doctrine or not in local churches by pastor teachers. In local churches by pastor teachers, the doctrine of Christian way of life is to be taught to believers whether they want the doctrine or not. Doesn't matter, 2 Timothy 4:1-3. Preach the word in the season, not out of season. Today it's out of season. People don't want to hear it. You're not a loving pastor. You're not very loving. You don't love us. You don't have enough social life for us. You don't hold our little patties in the hospital while and weep and cry over us while we're going to hospital. No, I say get some Bible doctor and be able to go out and handle a test for yourself. Trust God. Let me tell you something. When you're laying that down, I ain't sit there and hold your hand, but I can't enter your soul and give you the doctrine of dying grace. You've got to have it on your own. I can pray for you to have it. I can share Bible verses with you, but if you've already got it, you'll already have it. You have that piece that my friend Cordy Vanderbregen wrote about in 11 Eclipses in Life in 1944 that he had on his way in, that he had in the South Pacific in World War II. How he come to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. You could have the peace that helped my friend Colonel Earl Thurgood survive 6.5 years in a prisoner of war camp in North Vietnam, in the Vietnam War. You could have the peace that I saw in my friend Werner Johnson when he lay dying in a hospital room, burns all over his body had turned to skin cancer and all he was dying there in the isolation ward of Harborview Hospital, a patient of the state as a disabled fisherman. laying on that bed, singing Until Then with my friend Judge Marshall, who's also in heaven with one of the day. That piece in which he says, get a hold of our friend Mel Anderson, tell him and Emma to come see me tonight because I won't be here tomorrow. And he wasn't, or something like that. I got there that night and he went to be with the Lord in the early hours of the morning. Ah, my friends, a proud nation is a nation where believers are prepared to share the gospel with unbelievers and share doctrine with believers. Believers are to share the Christian way of life doctrine with other believers and the gospel with unbelievers on a one-on-one basis. 1 Peter 3:15 compared to 2 Corinthians 5:20. Four through when believers have the freedom to evangelize the lost, teach the Christian way of life to other believers, and then the nation becomes a cloud nation to God at that point of time in history. 1 Timothy 2:1-7. A, believers in a cloud nation must pray prayers of supplication that they will be light in their own nation. Version 1a. B, believers are to pray prayers of intercession for the lost in a nation that they will receive clear gospel hearing that they might be saved one day. C, believers are to pray prayers of intercession for their fellow believers that they will be light in a nation to evangelization of the lost. 1 verse 1c compared to 1 Corinthians 9:16, Romans 1:15-16. B, believers are to pray prayers of intercession for their fellow believers to be students of the Word of God on a daily basis. 1 C compared to 2 Timothy 2:15. E, believers are to pray prayers of intercession that believers will not forsake their attendance in the local church on a consistent basis. 1 C compared to Hebrews 10:25. 1, this is a Tennyson Bible class, Acts 2:42a. 2, this is a Tennyson communion service. Acts 2:42c. 3, this is a Tennyson prayer meeting, Acts 2:42d. 4, believers will have fellowship with other believers in the local church, Acts 2:42b. Around Bible doctrine and the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Believers in a prayer of intercession that their fellow believers will share doctrinal truths of Christian reality with other believers. 1 Peter 1c compared to 1 Peter 3:15. G, believers in a prayers of thanksgiving for the freedom that exists in their cloud nation. Verse 1b. It says thanksgiving, and you put that with 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning you. H, believers are to pray for our national and local leadership, civil and military, that these men will operate under the laws of divine establishment for temple living, so that the believer can continue to exercise freedom in the cloud nation. Verse 2. That's, of course, in Hosea chapter 4. I'm sorry, 1 Timothy chapter 2. For verse 1, this is the freedom in temple and spiritual affairs without unjust interference by those of authority. 2, when the government interferes with believer's spiritual and temporal life, it prevents that believer from accomplishing his responsibility as salt and light in the nation. 4, the United States of America was founded upon the principles of God's laws of divine establishment for temporal living, which allowed the believer's freedom to carry out their spiritual and temporal responsibilities, and thus this country became a cloud nation to God. 5, salt is the believer living his life before God, the way that his temporal life becomes a preserver of national freedom. What a believer is in apostasy and aversion, the Lord provides blessings to his nation. I'm going to hurry through these points. I want to get them in there. I had the interruptions of the noise outside for a second, and the machine malfunctioned when I paused to stop the talking and get it back on there. All right. God established property rights so that Adam could benefit from the individual decisions he would make. The Garden of Eden represented the benefits of real estate, Genesis 2:8. The trees in the garden represent the value of agriculture, especially for human consumption as food, Genesis 2:9. See, the rivers that flowed through the garden represented water rights and energy power, which are valuable private resources to be utilized in the principle of personal freedom, Genesis 2:10, 11, 13, and 14. Water is essential for life. It's necessary for farming. It's necessary for animal raising. Water is used for transportation. Water provides energy, the source of energy, and water was originally used as a defense mechanism on the rivers. They built fortresses and all to defend themselves along the rivers. Water is essential for life, for transportation, for energy, for animal husbandry, for agricultural irrigation. 8D, gold. I'm sorry, my throat. Representing all precious metals, beryllium, which is a tree sap, and as such provides for us as a precious gum, rising. The whole concept of drawing value from the trees down there, from the saps and things like this, to use maple sugars, whatever it may be down there, and the values that come out of these things, and things used in medications and other things. And the gems there, representing one gem, representing all of the gems there, gives us the value of these things as for money power and all for trade and for bartering, etc., and the value of it. Genesis 2:12. E, management, was established as possessing value and thus benefits in Genesis 2:15. F, animals were established as property, be utilized in a personal freedom for personal benefit, Genesis 2:19 and 20. G, the work ethic, was established for providing value to man as he had to pick the fruit he would eat, and he gave a name to every animal, Genesis 2:16 and 20. I'm doing this quickly because we've taught this so many times to you. 7, God made accountability for the result of the personal decisions that each person makes in life. Genesis 2:17 with Galatians 6:7. We know that if we eat of the fruit of the ground, we can benefit from it. But the animal was told if he eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he would die. Dying also surely die. Spiritual death will lead to physical death. That's the plural in the Hebrew there. You put that with Galatians 6:7, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Thus a man, is responsible for making personal decisions to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, John 3:16-18 and verse 36. B, every believer is responsible for living the Christian way of life, Ephesians 5:1-2 with verses 16-20. God had created a system of marriage law that relates to the personal institution of marriage between one man and one woman, Genesis 2:18-25. God created a system of family law that related to a husband and wife in relationship with their children, parents, and relatives, Genesis 2:24-41. Genesis 5:1-3 compared to Proverbs 22, compared to Ephesians 6:1-4. Jew, God created a system of national law that relates to people living together in society with specific geographical locations, utilizing one language among themselves and being one race and one culture, Genesis 10:5-32. Principle, families, marriage and families are the balance between the tyranny of too much government and the anarchy of not enough government on their individuality. Now, God established nations to be basically one race, one language. Now, Satan's been trying to wipe this out since the Tower of Babel was interactive, and will continue to do so as he tries to create a united culture and destroy any cultures influenced by the Word of God. And the moment someone is saved, they come into the body of Christ, regardless of what race they are, no race does not matter, language does not matter, but this relates to the body of Christ and not to society in general. You cannot oppose Christian law upon an unsaved society. Christian principles, because the unsaved man can understand it. Genesis 2 makes that very clear. And what they do, when many Christians confuse spiritual life principles with temporal life principles and want to create a facade by trying to get people to live by certain Christian life principles. God is not a respecter of persons. Within the body of Christ, we're all equal. We have all different spiritual gifts, but we're all equal. Outside the body of Christ, we're not all equal. I never had the ability to the baseball like Roger Hornsby, Ty Cobb, Ted Williams, Babe Ruth, with the power of a Ruth, with the mixed power and in the eye of, Roger Hornsby, with Ted Williams with the highest eyesight ever tested by the U.S. Marine Corps, the speed of a Ty Cobb, and the arm of a Tris Speaker, Bob Musil. I couldn't pitch like a bird bob feller or a warm spine. Wes Farrell, Lefty Groove, Cy Young, Walter Johnson, I didn't have that ability. Football, I couldn't throw a football like Slamming Sammy Barr, Chucking Charlie Connolly, Joe Namath, Bart Starr, the accuracy of the Bart Starr, Brett Favre coming out in the modern times, or Peyton Manning. I couldn't play basketball like George Mikan. Or some of the other great basketball players that came up. I couldn't run track like Glenn Cunningham. I'd go to the Olympics and be another Jim Thorpe. Or have the speed of a Jesse Owens. Handle the outfield defense of a Willie Mays. See, I know my limitations. I couldn't play ice hockey like a Gordie Howe or a Bobby Hull or a Wayne Gretzky or a Rocket Richard. I couldn't play a guitar like Merle Travis, Chet Atkins, Moe Rager, Ike Everly, a mandolin like a Bill Monroe. A fiddle. Like some of the great fiddle players of all time. Uncle Jimmy Thompson. Some of those men. Harry Forrester. I couldn't swim like Johnny Westmuller. I don't have the brain of an Einstein. I couldn't have my mind doesn't work with my hands, the mechanical genius of some of those guys like A.J. Fort Sr., the Pettys, and some of those other men. The Woods brothers, probably two of the greatest auto mechanics that ever lived. I lacked that ability. And each one of them, and they were each different. God has taken each one of us down different routes and different ways to do different things, and God designed us for His perfect purpose and for His plan. And we have to make decisions in accordance with what we can do there. And let God take care of the rest of it. We have to recognize that we are not. We're all different. Doesn't matter. But HR internationalism is an attack upon God's laws of divine establishment for temple living. Genesis 11:1-9. God condemns internationalism. 4:7. It is every believer's responsibility and inclination to stand for God's system of truth concerning the gospel and the Christian real life and temple life. John 14:15, Jude 3, Isaiah 58:11, compared to John 8:30-32. 8, the believers in the Cloud Nation are responsible for worldwide missionary evangelism, Romans 10:13-15, with Matthew 28:19-20. Principle. Since the United States is a Cloud Nation to God, then the warnings of Hosea 4:1 applies this country as such as a Cloud Nation. Thus, if God destroyed Israel for its failure, then God can destroy us if we fail our spiritual life responsibilities. 1 Peter 4:17 says, for the time is come, the judgment begins at the house of God. If it first begins with us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? Luke 12:48b, for unto whomsoever much is given, much shall be required. Hosea 4:1, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath the controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, no mercy, no knowledge of God in the land. Like our translation thus far, hear, Lamb of God, the word of Jehovah, you children of Israel. And as all the sons of Israel, because of their personal relationship with Jehovah, and all the other sons of Israel, because this nation is special to our nation's status with God. For Lord, again, we have a touch of gratitude for Jehovah, reminding us that personal God is speaking. A personal God is speaking to these people. Now, God sometimes uses the word Adonai, D-O-N-A-I, which is also translated Lord, when speaking of judgment. Amos 1:8, and I will cut off the inhabitants of Ashton, and him that holdeth the sepulchre from Ashkelon, and I will turn my hand against Ekron, and the remnant of the Philistines shall perish, says Adonai Jehovah. But our passage is not used this way because the emphasis remains primarily upon born again believers of dispensation, not just unbelievers. Have the controversy. Is the translation strife, contend, controversy. It literally means an indictment against someone. This is where we will pick up in the next class. I'm going to cut it off slightly short because I've got to catch a bus to town to pick up my wife. And we had so many interruptions in this class. Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word, but your word is absolute truth. Again, we claim your promise. Will not return, but will accomplish all you designed it for. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Did by someone looking in my window. 2 Chronicles 13:5. Do you know that the Lord God of Israel gave the rule over Israel forever to David and his son by covenant of Saul? That's been the policy of David's contract is emphasized by referring to it as a covenant of Saul. Every blessing comes from the Father to the believer, James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down above, and the Father of lights, and in his no variableness, neither shadow of turning. B. The Father made a covenant of salt with Aaron, in which he promised to supply all of the needs of the priests and the difference through the offerings brought to God in worship. The Father made a covenant of salt with Aaron, in which he promised to supply all the needs of the priests through the offering is brought to God in worship. God has a plan. Look at 2 Samuel 7:12-16. David, the Father made a covenant of Saul with David. Father made a covenant of Saul with David. We just saw that in 2 Chronicles 13:5. And now let's look at the passage in 2 Samuel 7:12-16. Will there be compared with that honor your father will raise up your descendants after you will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. When he commits iniquity, I will correct him with a rod of men and the strokes of the rod sons of men. But by loving kindness shall not depart from him, as I took it away from Saul, and I remove from before you, and your house, your kingdom, shall endure before me forever. Your throne shall be established forever in accordance with all these words and all this vision. So Nathan spoke to David. Nathan the prophet speaks to David of this unconditional covenant. I like the Davidic covenant in verses 8 to 17. Coming up upon which the glorious kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the seed of David according to the flesh is to be founded. The Davidic covenant, Davidic house, that's i.e. the posterity of his family. Two, a throne, that's a royal authority. Three, a kingdom, that's a superior rule. Four, a perpetuity, that's forever. Five, and the fourfold covenant has been one condition. Disobedience of the Davidic family is to be virtue with chastisement, but not with abrogation of the covenant. 2 Samuel 7:15, Psalm 89:20-37, Isaiah 24:5, and 54:3. The chastisement family divides the kingdom and the real born and finding the captivities, 2 Kings 25:1-7. Since that time, one king of the Davidic family has been crowned Jerusalem, and he was crowned with thorns, but the Davidic covenant confirmed by David by the oath of Jehovah, and renewed to Mary by the angel Gabriel, is immutable, Psalm 89:30-37. The Lord God will yet give to the throne crown one, the throne of his father David, Luke 1:31-33, and Acts 2:29-32, and 15:14-17. Verse 18 of 2 Samuel 7. When David the king went in and sat before the Lord, he said, "Here am I, O Lord." Sorry, that's a tank turnover there. Verses 18 and 19. Then David the king went and said before the Lord, he said, "Here am I, O Lord God, and what is the house that thou hast brought me thus far? And yet this was insignificant in thy eyes, O Lord God, for thou hast spoken also the house of thy servant concerning the distant future, and this is the custom of man, O Lord God." He sat back on his heels in a position of prayer in verse 18. In verses 18 to 29, David's prayer exemplifies the proper response of a believer to God's revealed will. Lord, in mind at the loss of the privilege of building the temple, David rejoices in the promise of future blessings and acknowledgement of God's sovereignty. He is thankful that God has guaranteed to him and given him an unconditional covenant. 8.7, salt is used to A, flavor food. B, preserve food. C, for pharmaceutical medicine. D, salt is used by God as a man of miracles to purify water. Principle. Teaching that salt of Barnabas, this teaches salt of Barnabas and all divine establishment for temporary living, stabilize the nation. This teaches that the salt of Barnabas doctrine, that's the word of God, and the teaching of the laws of divine establishment as salt establishes and stabilizes a nation. Look at Judges 9:41. Destruction. Look at Judges 9:41 and following. And then Abimelech remained at Aram, but Zebal drove out Gaal and his revenues, so they should not remain in Shechem. They flew about the next day, the people went out to the field that was told to Abimelech. So he took the people and divided them into three companies, and lay in wait in the field. And he looked and saw the people coming out from the city, and he rose against them and slew them. Then Abimelech, with his company who was with him, dashed forward and stood at the entrance of the city gate. The other two companies then dashed against all who were in the field and slew them. Abimelech fought against the city all that day, and the people were in it. Then he raised the city and sent it with salt. When all the leaders of the tower of Shechem heard of it, they entered the inner chamber of the temple of Eber. And it was told Abimelech that all the leaders of Tyre and Shechem were gathered together. So Abimelech went up to the mountain Zalman, and he took the people who were with him, and Abimelech took an axe in his hand and cut down a branch from the tree and lifted it and laid it on his shoulders. And he said to the people who were with him, "What you have seen, you do, and do likewise." And all the people also cut down each one a branch and followed Abimelech and put them in the inner chamber, and set the inner chamber on fire over those inside, so that all the men of the Tower of Shechem also died, about 1,000 men and women. And Abimelech went to Thebes, and he kept it at Thebes and captured it, but there was a strong tower in the center of the city, and all the men and women with all the leaders of the city fled there and shut themselves up in it, and they went up to the roof of the tower. So Abimelech came to the tower and fought against it and approached it, the entrance of the tower, and burnt it in fire. And a certain woman threw it up a millstone at Abimelech's head, crushing his skull. And he called quickly to the young man of Zarabah and said, "Draw your sword and kill me, lest he be set on me and run him slowly." The young man pushed him through and he died, and the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead. They departed to his home. And God returned the wickedness of Abimelech, which had done to his father, and killing his 70 brothers. And God returned all the wickedness of the men of Shechem on their heads, and the curse of Jotham, the son of Jerubbaal, came upon them. Now Abimelech had a revolution, declared himself king. He was the son of Gideon. But he sowed the center with salt. In Judges 9:45. Salt is a symbolic ritual with obvious direct effects that condemn the land to desolation. Salt, meaning soil in the ground, was designed to make the city unprofitable for growth there. The Phoenicians used to do that to cities. They would go out there and sow salt. Chaldeans. All right, that covers the doctrine of salt. Now, we've given you the United States of the Crown Nation to God introduction. Now we'll give you the U.S. Nation to God Advanced Principles. One, a power nation of self, the believer must teach and apply God's principles of temple establishment law. Leviticus 25:10-13. Leviticus 25:10-13. You shall thus consecrate the 50th year and proclaim a release to the land of it all inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. Each of you shall return to his own property, and each of you shall return to his family. You shall have the 50th year as a jubilee. You shall not sow nor reap as aftergrowth, nor gather from untrimmed vines. For his jubilee, it shall be holy to you. You shall eat his crops out of the field. On this year of jubilee, each of you shall return to his own property. Every 50th year was a year of jubilee, during which there was to be no sowing or reaping, and during which all the land was returned as original owners and slaves to their family. The principle was of biblical economics was in verses 13-17. We don't have time to read them, but buying and selling of real estate land was to be carried out equitably with due regard to how near the year of jubilee was, when the land would be returned this original owners. It was, there were no crops going in the year of jubilee. God promised verses 21-22 that the crop of the 6th year would be sufficient to sustain people in the sabbatical year, which followed the year of jubilee. Verses 25-28, everybody who was forced to sell his land could have it redeemed by a near relative or buy it back himself with due regard to the number of crops remaining until the year of jubilee, or waiting the jubilee when it would be restored to him. The house in the city was sold and not repurchased within a year became the permanent possession of the buyer, with verses 29-33, with the only exception, verse 33, when therefore belongs to Levites may be redeemed in a house sale in the city. This possession reversed in jubilee for the house of Levites and their possession among the sons of Israel. Now, prayer Israelites were to be assisted in every way without usury, as interest being charged to Exodus 25:20, with Leviticus 25:35-46. If one sold himself to a fellow Israelite, he was to be treated as a hired person rather than a slave. Slave labor came only from heathen nations, Leviticus 25:34. All right. Look at Deuteronomy 31:10-30. Deuteronomy 31:10-30. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 10-30. I'm not going to take time to read all these verses to you. I want to challenge you to read them. What we have here in Deuteronomy 31, is beginning in verse 9, is the deposit of a written copy with the priest, symbolizing the transfer of responsibility for enforcement to the priest, and the regulations for reading the covenant periodically were typical conditions of imperial treaties at that time. In verse 10, and Moses commanded him, saying, at the end of every 7 years, time of the year of the remission of debts, the Feast of the Booths. Every seventh year, they were to read the covenant through there. Moses is saying in verse 31, chapter 31, verses 1 and 2, so Moses went and spoke these words to Israel, said, I am 120 years old today. I'm no longer able to come and go, and the Lord has said to me, you shall not cross this Jordan. Physically, Moses was capable, verse 7 says, and Moses called Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with that people in the land which the Lord has sworn to their father to give them, and you shall give it to them as an inheritance. Okay, verse 34, chapter 34, verse 7 is the verse I wanted. Read you 31:7, 34:7. Although Moses was 120 years old when he died, his eyes were not dim, nor his vigor abated. He was physically able to go. Now he had been forbidden to go into the promised land with the people, Numbers 20, verse 12. Long before this, Joshua had been made the commanding general of the army, Exodus 17:9, and more recently had been invested with some of Moses' authority in Numbers 27:18-23. Moses gives them the covenant with them. Now, in verse 19, Moses and Joshua, the Lord is plural, are commissioned to write a song, a means of helping the people learn more easily the requirements of their covenant. Verse 23, Joshua now directly commissioned by God to take the place of Moses. Verse 14 was Moses, God speaking to Moses face to face for the last time upon the earth. I invite you to read the passage to see what's going on. But it goes with the whole concept of the salt principles of temporal life establishment. A, God has a system of creation law that relates to all animals, the environment, etc., which is normally classified as natural science. Genesis 1:1-25. I've given you this before, so I'm going to review it for you quickly as subpoints under point 1. God is a system of creation law that relates to all animals, plants, the environment, etc., which are normally classified as natural science. Genesis 1:1-25. There's no such thing as natural science. Natural science is the discovery of what God has created and established, which are the divine laws of the law of divine establishment for temporal living, Codex 1, creation. We often don't talk of the first three codexes, but we're going to give them to you this time. B. God is a system of physical body law that relates to every human body, Genesis 2:7a. God created the body, Genesis 2:7a, so therefore he has a system that goes with it. Then the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground. The man's body was formed from small particles of the earth. The Hebrew word for man and earth are similar, but his life came from the breath of God, a living being, a living person. Now, God has this, so Codex 2 is biological life. Codex 1 is creation. Codex 2 is biological life that exists in the human body. C, God is a system of mental health law that relates to our human soul, Genesis 2:7b. and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. You have psychological life in the human soul. So Codex 2-3 is psychological life in the human soul. Then God has spiritual life, which he puts into the human spirit of the born-again believer. 1 Thessalonians 5. Or 2 Thessalonians, I'm sorry, I won't. Yeah, verses. First Thessalonians 5:23 is what I want. Got the wrong verse down here. 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Possible? God's codex of law for spiritual life has nothing to do with the temporal, materialistic world. It is therefore not a part of the laws of the divine establishment for temporal living. For any God is a system of personal laws that relate to the complete individual being, Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Then God said, let us make man in our own image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. And God created man in his own image. The image of God, he created man. Male and female, he created them. Alright, Codex 4, the law of the law established for temporal living, is the law of individuality. A, subpoint 1, God has given to every individual person freedom to choose for themselves in their spiritual and temporal lives. Genesis 2, verse 16, Genesis 2, 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, from the tree of any garden you may eat freely. He has the volitional choice of freedom. Joshua 24:15 is where Joshua challenged the people, saying, choose this day and you shall serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. For spiritual choices. Two, personal freedom consists of personal volition, which is the right to choose, Genesis 2:16. Personal responsibility, Genesis 2:17. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. And they eat there of dying, thou shalt surely die.